All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this volume. Actually, I lost track of what volume it is. But in any case, thank you for tuning in once again. Kiyote and I are back for another episode. We will be dissecting the fiasco of Goldberg versus Undertaker in Saudi Arabia this past weekend at WWE Super Showdown. What's up, Kiyote?
Lewis, my mood has changed drastically. I just tell you that I literally was just on the phone with you and now we're doing a double. I think we're making history, a double header.
Yeah, the Yankees had a double header with the Mets.
Yeah, jeez, man. My mood has changed, Lewis. But jeez, we got to talk about this.
Yes, we do. Before we get into anything, please continue to support on Instagram at Let Me Just Say This Podcast. And you can stream this and all of my other episodes on Spotify. Oh, you know what? I can't even say iTunes anymore because iTunes is shutting down. So
no more Apple iTunes, Podcasts,
yeah. Yeah, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast, and a couple of other platforms. So... Super Showdown, huh?
Super Showdown, Lewis.
Let's cut the crap. Let's get into this fucking match, man. I'm gonna put it out there. I had zero interest in this pay-per-view apart from two things. I wanted to see if Brock Lesnar was actually gonna cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase. And I wanted
Friday.
Yeah.
He's such a monster, man. I tell you, he's such a
seriously.
Nothing he says sounds normal. Like it's just.
I know he's not of this planet, man.
He's not of this planet, bro.
And I wanted to check out Goldberg versus Undertaker, not because of sheer excitement, because this match is obviously taking place 15 to 20 years too late, but it was just more out of curiosity, you know. And it is historic because it's the first time that they're actually going face to face, one on one, in a wrestling match. So I did not even bother tuning in. I was gonna tune in much later so that I could just see the main event. I was just following along with the results and whatnot. Yeah. I watched this match and, you know, the first several minutes, the first 2-3 minutes weren't too bad. You know, given their age, it was okay. But then when you get to like the final sequences, oh my God. When Goldberg attempted that jackhammer and inadvertently turned it into a brain buster, I cringed.
Ooh.
I said, what the fuck was that? He dropped the poor bastard on his... He could have paralyzed him. Forget ending his career. He could have paralyzed him, like, legit. And then...
Yeah.
They botched the counter of the tombstone. So Goldberg was supposed to counter the tombstone, you know, that usual spot. I guess he didn't have the strength to lift him up. And they just both fall. It looked so bad and so sloppy to the point where I think it appears that Taker called an audible and he just said, fuck it, let's just end it here because I'm not doing this anymore. He gives him a choke slam where he lifts him up like halfway and then he gets a 3 count.
Yeah, the choke slam looked horrible. Like Goldberg didn't even give him any push. Like he didn't even really jumping almost looked like I don't know what's going on with Goldberg. I don't know if he's lost too much blood, if that even had anything to do with it.
Supposedly he was concussed.
Really?
Yeah, I read that online. That first of all, I don't understand how anybody goes into the post that hard to the point where they're fucking bleeding. Yeah. But I guess it's hard to stop the momentum, you know, when you're doing that kind of spot. But yeah, suppose he banged his head pretty bad to the point where he was a little concussed during the match.
Yeah, Lou, but you listen, man, he's Goldberg. He's done that 1,000 times. learn how to stop yourself. I mean, right. Learn how to not hit the pole. You're a professional wrestler. How many times have you done this? I mean, come on, man. I mean, Jesus Christ. You put the entire match at risk. Now you're, I guess, concussed at this point. Listen, Lewis, I gotta rewind for a second. The whole match was horrible. All right? It was awful. They looked like two old pieces of garbage that should have never been in the ring. And I feel bad for the Saudis because the Saudis know no better. They know no better. So they're sitting there.
Crowd heat.
Lewis, they're chanting. At one point, they chanted, "This is awesome" chants.
Oh, my gosh. I caught that. Yeah.
Dude, I said, listen, this WWE is getting away with murder because the audience has no idea that this is like Botch City. Like they're chanting "This is awesome" chant. I'm sitting there like, wait, that is, did they put an audio track in for that, or is that really the audience saying that? How could you think this is awesome? They were slow. They were sloppy.
Listen, if they thought that was awesome, then they must have thought TakeOver 25. They must have had an orgasm watching that.
Yeah, their brains must have exploded. Like that's how, like, David Cronenberg explosion of the mind kind of thing. That's how. Like
Sanders type shit.
Exactly. They must have. Listen, I don't know how anybody could say that this was a good. I can't even. I couldn't. I tried, Lewis. I really tried because I was like semi interested because like wow, but it is. It's like 20 years. Way too late. Taker is slow and done. Goldberg is sloppy and apparently just has no more strength. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what homeboy is doing, but dude, he could have broke Taker's neck. Like,
yeah, I know, man. He could have put Taker in the hospital.
Man, like it was just ugly, and the announce team was trying their damnedest to clean up the crap that we were seeing. By this is the first time ever. These are two legends, icons. Like they kept trying to sell it.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I felt so bad for Corey Graves because he. You could tell. I mean, he's trying to come across like he's genuinely excited, but oh, yeah. Man.
Listen, I can tell you, Corey is probably the only person sitting there that's looking at it almost in a fan's perspective, like, man, this sucks. instead of looking at it from like a WWE employee trying to save the show kind of way, right. He's looking at it like, man, I feel bad for these people. Like they're getting a really raw deal right now. Like this is awful. It's awful. It's awful. I wonder if Vince was in the back. I wonder if at any point he was going to go out there and start wrestling himself because I it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous what we were seeing. Ridiculous. Nasty, Lewis. Bad. Bad.
Yeah, it was actually more embarrassing than when they went to Saudi Arabia last November for Crown Jewel. And what do we have? That main event, DX versus Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
And that was pretty bad too, but this takes the cake easily.
Takes the cake. Yeah, this takes the cake. Takes the cake.
Hey, did you see how pissed off Undertaker, he visibly looked annoyed like after the match. Like after he got the three count, he was just like, man, are you serious?
Listen, man, I don't blame him. First off, he got dropped on his neck. Second off, I mean, Goldberg wasn't really responding to any of his, like, punches or kicks. Like, he wasn't really selling. And I think Goldberg was too busy worrying about the blood on his head or, yeah. You know, what was happening with that versus selling the match, man. What are you doing? You're a professional. You've been... Listen, Goldberg was never good in the first place, Lewis. I got to throw that out. Like, I mean,
no, he was never great. He was like a...
He was an attraction piece.
Yeah, he was like an Ultimate Warrior. Ultimate Warrior wasn't the best worker. He just had the gimmick. Right. He had the larger-than-life personality. Goldberg, I loved Goldberg as a kid. But then I got older and I realized, yeah, Goldberg wasn't that good. It's just, in ring wise, but he just had the persona.
Yeah, he just had the persona. And yeah,
Goldberg will always go down as one of my favorites from that WCW era, because that's when I first got into wrestling full time as a fan.
Right.
So, you know, Goldberg is always going to stand out. You know, that's the reason why he had those 3-4 minute matches, because he couldn't really work all that good.
No, he's not a good worker. Not a good worker. And it was blatant, Lewis. I tell you that. It was blatant. I mean, Jesus. It was just so slow, man. Like,
I'm telling you, they could have gotten away with a decent match had they kept it a little shorter and they didn't try to go for the big spots. I think that's what hurt the match. That's one of the reasons why it didn't work. They should have just kept it at 5 minutes. There's a reason why Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar from 3 WrestleManias ago was a good match, because it was 5 minutes. And it was fast and furious, and it was kept short for that reason. You know, and that's why it was so great. German suplexes galore, you know, a couple of spears or whatever it was. And, you know, we didn't need an epic 10-15 minute encounter. We didn't need any of that.
And I think this match was about 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes.
Oh, God. 5 minutes too long, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
Dude, the combined age of both of these men is like 106 or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, oh my goodness. Like, it is not conducive to a very entertaining or good or even decent match.
No, not at all.
We're getting Undertaker, who looks like a shell of his former self. Goldberg physically still looks good, but he's old, man. Like, these guys are in their 50s. I don't get it. Like, what's the mindset of booking something like this? I mean, I get it. You know, you want to put some asses in seats in Saudi Arabia, and you know they're going to pay for anything because, you know, they don't know any better. But, like, was it really worth it for Goldberg to come out of quasi-retirement? Was it really worth it for Undertaker to come out?
No way.
You know, it's just, Undertaker versus Goldberg would have been awesome in 2003. You know?
Yes.
2019? Absolutely not.
No way. No way, man. No way. This, no one wants to see this. Like, wait. Like, I mean, I don't know how else, what else is, like, no one wants to see this, especially now, right? Like, you have, I try to say, Lewis, like, listen, I really try to go in this with the best, giving them the benefit of the doubt, and saying to myself, listen, maybe if they hit a couple of high spots and they pace it well, this could be actually, it could be manageable. Not good. I wouldn't go as far as good, but you can probably get a little something from this, right? And then there was this weird hush over the crowd, like this, like, quiet stillness of like after the "this is awesome" chant, which is outrageous to me, but after that went, after that stopped, it was like, okay guys, it's 102 degrees, but can we finish this up already? Like, what are we doing out here? Like, get this done already. Like, why are you guys still in the ring? And you're right, maybe it was just 5 or 6 minutes too long. My god.
You know, I was reading a PW Torch report of the event, and they had mentioned something interesting where you had touched on it too, like where it's like over 100 degrees, and maybe that was adding to their overall fatigue too. Because listen, I live it every day. I know what it's like to step out and stand out and stand out in the 103, 104 degree heat. It is exhausting. So imagine working a match, like going back and forth and physically working up a sweat. That you can fucking pass out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, nobody, you know, over here in the southwest of the United States, nobody goes outside unless you're going to a pool, you know, or unless, oh, well, I should put it like this. Nobody's staying outside in the summertime unless you're either A, in a pool, or B, in some type of outdoor sport. And God bless you if you are, like football or soccer or whatever. So you can imagine like them working matches in this dire heat. And imagine, and take it to the next level, imagine that on a couple of 50-something-year-olds. You know, I don't care how physically conditioned you are. Age has no, age doesn't discriminate, basically.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You know, and a 53-year-old is a 53-year-old wrestling a match. That's just what it comes down to. In 100-plus degree heat.
Lewis, I got to tell you, man, it could have, they could have just ended with the Triple H and Randy Orton match and just called it a night. I mean, that 50-man battle royal, I get it, you know, hometown guy win. But, I mean, did we really need Taker and Goldberg? I mean, listen, if I get it. I'm not going to stop any man's check. And maybe Goldberg needed the check. Taker has collected multiple checks. I mean, I don't think Taker needs any more money. But,
no, I don't think so either. Yeah, but, you know what, Goldberg, I think they gave him a couple of million for that Saudi Arabia show. So
that's crazy.
Like, yeah, that money's good.
So if they gave Goldberg a couple of million, how much you think they give Taker? Four?
Yeah, probably about the same amount or more. I mean, Taker. Taker's a different kind of special attraction than Goldberg because Taker's always around in WWE. Goldberg isn't, you know? Like, Goldberg, you really got to get him to get off his ass on the couch. Not in that sense because he obviously keeps himself physically fit. But what I mean is Goldberg is not really around all that often. Like, the last time we saw Goldberg work a match was, what, 2 years ago against Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little different. So I would imagine that they paid him more to convince him to work that show.
Yeah, Lewis. I also noticed something else that was very interesting that maybe not too many people noticed, or maybe they did. The wide shots of the arena. I don't know about you, but a lot of those seats were empty.
I didn't pick up on it. I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, you gotta take a look at that. A lot of the seats were empty, man. Yeah, they weren't playing to a full crowd. The seats closest to the ring, they were taken, and maybe a little bit in the like mid range of the arena, but everything up was very scarce. Like, it was very scarce, and they made sure that part of the arena was darkened. And so if you notice, it was darkened. They rarely got any angles of that area of the arena. So it was one of those things like, let's not show that. Let's keep the cameras away from that spot. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I mean,
man, fuck these Saudi Arabia shows, because the WWE has a 10-year deal with the Saudis to put on. So we have to put up with this shit for another decade, bro. Or at least 9 years.
They have what?
They have a 10-year deal with Saudi Arabia to put on events in Jeddah. Yes. So no wonder it works out for both parties. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Saudi Arabia paid a huge chunk of money to Vince McMahon and company.
Would you happen to know that number?
WWE's going to turn that money down? Hell no.
Would you happen to know that number?
No, I don't have that figure in front of me, but it's worth a pretty penny.
Wow.
So this we're going to have to just suck it up and get used to it. WWE is going to have a presence in Saudi Arabia unless they get out of that multi-million dollar deal or something. I don't know.
Well,
I'm feeling it though. I'm not feeling it. It's just
I'm not feeling it either. Yeah, I'm not feeling it either. I'm not feeling, and this is, and I've been hearing and reading and listening to a lot of other podcasts about this situation. I hate that they are calling this on the same level or equivalent to a WrestleMania.
Oh my god, that is insane
to me.
That is such an insult to WrestleMania.
Insult to WrestleMania, bro. How dare you, man? Wait, you mean to tell me that there's another show that's just as special that I'm paying $400 seats for that in another country where I'm getting a match of Goldberg and Taker, which should be on a Mania years ago, but now you're going to give it to me 20 years late. you're gonna give it to me in a different country where I have no access to. I can't even go if I want to go. And right. Now you're calling this show in Saudi Arabia just as special as a WrestleMania?
Nah.
That language, whatever producer or creative person is writing that, or Vince is just sitting there like, yeah, it's good shit. They gotta stop that. Because somebody
just needs to go to Vince and tell him that's enough.
Yeah.
Stay home. Enjoy the rest of your life because you're fucking old. Enjoy your grandkids. It's over, man. It's over.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable, man. Yeah, I don't want it here.
I find that highly offensive, like equivalent to WrestleMania. Yo.
Equivalent to No, WrestleMania is special. It's supposed to be the only thing that's special every year. There should be no other equivalent from the same company. No, man.
That's like if I'm married to a chick. Let's just say I'm me and Karen, for example. Let's just say we were married for like 25 years, and then all of a sudden I meet another chick. And, you know, she's hot, she's giving me what I need. And then I say, yeah, this is the equivalent of my wife of 25 years of marriage. You know what I'm saying? Equivalent or better. Meanwhile, I just met her last year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Doesn't make any sense, man. That language has to stop because that can hurt WWE if they keep doing it and pushing it. Sponsors are going to be like, I don't want to sponsor WrestleMania if there's something bigger or better that you're doing in Saudi Arabia. Why do I want to, let me give, I'll sponsor the Saudi show for $50 million, but I don't want nothing to do with this WrestleMania show. You got Taker and Goldberg on this show, but I'm getting Miz and Roman Reigns on your WrestleMania show? No. I don't want that. I'll take the Saudi show. Like, it's going to start, and this is only, and it's exaggerating, but this would only happen if they continue with that type of language. That's where that will start to really hinder in on their money prospects, man. I mean,
yeah, seriously? You're right.
What sponsor's going to, yeah.
This is all Vince is doing, man.
What sponsor's going to want, who's going to want to give money to the B show or the show that is not as good as the one you're doing in Saudi Arabia? There should be only one WrestleMania. And I would have thought Vince would know better. Like, what are you doing, Vince? Like, what? You're calling another show the equivalent or better to WrestleMania? Come on, man.
That's just it, though. Vince just doesn't know any better. He's in denial. He's just so out of touch. I'm just so over him, man. Over him. I'm over the direction of this company. I'm just over it. Yeah. Like, I haven't watched Raw in like 2-3 weeks. Like, all I do is just read up on the highlights. I'm only watching like the Firefly Funhouse segments. Like, I'm just over it, man. Like, I don't care. Like, they need to. Why is Baron Corbin challenging Seth Rollins? Why is he in this main event program? I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care for it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just following along because of my loyalty to WWE, but I don't care to sit and watch it. Like a lot of these storylines are just not doing it for me. Some of them are and some of them aren't, but it's just the direction of everything as a whole is just, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Well, let's take a pause. When we come back, let's discuss the implications going forward of Goldberg versus Taker, what that means for legends who want to return and work matches in the future. So let's get into that when we come back. All right, we are back and shitting on Super Showdown as well as Goldberg versus Taker. All right, I gotta ask this question. Should Undertaker be officially done after this debacle of a match?
Absolutely. Lewis, there's nothing more I care to see. Any dream match that I even had in my head has now become a nightmare. So I don't care. I don't care about
that's a good Taker. Way to put it.
I don't care about Taker fighting or having a match with anybody else. Your boy is done. Rest in peace. Good night. Jesus. That's it, man.
Well, rest in peace figuratively.
Yes, and figuratively, yeah. I mean, Jesus, man. Come on. What more do we need to see?
I could not agree with you more. I was done with Undertaker about 2 years ago after seeing that match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I was done then, but now this was the nail in the proverbial coffin. Undertaker is done. I do not care to see him anymore. He looks like a washed up old geezer. Oh my gosh. He looks like what somebody's uncle would look like when they're trying too hard to relive their youth. You know what I'm saying? Or he just looks like someone at a Halloween, but he looks like one of your relatives at a Halloween party. One of your very older, like your older uncles, your middle-aged uncles at a Halloween party. Like, he doesn't look like The Undertaker anymore. And I would rather him just stop. And if I'm going to get matches like this, where there's botched moves left and right and he can barely move, I just prefer not to see him. Same goes for HBK. Same goes for what are the old geezer keeps returning? You know, he could still go a little bit. You know, even though his age is catching up to him, Triple H can still go. So he's the exception to the rule. But Kane, Big Show, Mark Henry, you know, what are the implications going forward? Like, is this a wake-up call for legends who are returning and they want to work that one more match? What do you think?
This should be a big wake-up call. This should be a rude awakening. This should be one of those things that changes how WWE views its legends. Maybe use your legends in a way that doesn't have them in the ring, but maybe being ambassadors for young guys, maybe being sort of a talking piece for one of the young dudes coming up. There is zero. I don't want to see the only guy, Lewis. And this is only if your boy was in full perfect health.
I know.
At the current age.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
At the current age he is in, the only guy that I would even think about caring to see in the ring is Bret Hart. That's it.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of Bret Hart.
And that's why I said if he was at full 100% health.
Oh, no.
Right?
The only legend that I would prefer to see these days, because he didn't have – I felt like he didn't have the proper send-off because it was so unexpected when he got injured, but The Rock. His last match was against John Cena 6 years ago at WrestleMania, but he got injured, man. That was his quote-unquote retirement match now in retrospect, but I would like him to work one more match and have that be his retirement match. He needs that send off.
I think he could still go.
Yeah, because he's 47, but he's not your average 47.
Right.
You know, and I agree. I think he could still go. And he's probably, again, the exception to the rule. Like, would I, if they booked Rock versus Triple H for WrestleMania next year or Super Showdown, that's not going to be nearly as bad as Goldberg versus Taker. And they're going to be smart with their spots anyway. Exactly. And those guys are in physical, tip top form. So that'll be different. Yes. So I wouldn't mind seeing that.
So you bring a good point up. I mean, they would pick their spots well. I have to give it to them. Orton and Triple H match was decent.
I heard it was decent.
It was decent. It worked. They did exactly what I thought they would do. Nothing crazy. Very methodical. You know, they hit each other's moves a couple of times and kicked out a couple of times, and you know, they were very, you could tell they talked and they thought out exactly how this match was going to go. You could see it. You could see it. And I appreciated it. And I was like, you know what? That match could have been on one of these random pay-per-views. Not any of the big ones, but one of the random ones, right? The match
like Stomping Grounds? That call.
Like Stomping Grounds or Bragging Rights or whatever pay-per-view they decide to bring back, you know? It could have been on something like that. And it could have been good. And I had to hand it to him. I was like, you know what? This is what I expected, and that's what I got. And I got to tell you, it was decent. It was decent. They worked well together. But man, it almost looks like Goldberg and Taker kind of like went out and said, hey, you do this, I do this, and you know, don't worry about it, we'll be good.
And that's yeah.
And that's it. Like, there was no conversation about the flow of this match. Like, man, the Saudis know. Let me tell you something, Lewis. If they did that same match in Madison Square Garden or Brooklyn or Chicago or Boston, oh,
hell no.
Or Philly,
hell no.
That place would have erupted with, you just fucked up.
Yeah.
You just fucked
up. Or they would just chant, you both suck.
You both suck. Yeah, they would have killed them. But God bless the Saudis. I tell you that. those Saudis, man, they were just happy to be
there. Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. They were just happy that WWE was there and they finally get to see them and all that
stuff. Well, that's the international audience for you. The international audience, they're not getting WWE on a regular basis because the WWE is a North American-based company. So whenever they go to places like Europe, Australia, South Africa, they're just appreciating the live spectacle. They don't really care so much for the match quality. They just want to see their favorite superstars, and they want to see their favorite superstars win the match. It's an entirely different experience, you know? Now, when you're talking about the UK, that's different because the UK has a hardcore wrestling based community. So that you're getting hardcore fans over there. But, you know, in the aforementioned places like China and well, maybe not so much Japan either, because Japan is a little different too. But, they were just appreciative of seeing these larger than life guys wrestle regardless of. Listen, when I was watching that match, those dudes in the front, sitting ringside, like in the front couple of rows, they were into it. Holy shit. There was this one guy, he kept on putting his hands on top of his head every time there was a near fall or a false finish. Like, you would have thought he was witnessing a fucking classic.
Yeah. 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 But, yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I don't want to see any legends anymore, Lewis. I'm good with that, man. I don't want to see any legends unless they're coming out to get a Hall of Fame ring. That's
Yeah,
it.
like I
That's
said,
it.
unless it's Dwayne Johnson, I don't want to see anybody else.
Yeah, listen, I'll see The Rock, and that's why I said if Brett was at 100% health and he never had the stroke and he was never, he was never sick, it would have been awesome to see him as well.
Yeah.
In one last match,
Yeah, because even Kurt Angle looked shitty in his last run, and that's a shame too, you
Yeah.
know.
But at the same time, you gotta remember the company buried his last run. They buried him.
They
I
did.
mean, good Lord, you're gonna have me lose to Baron Corbin. I wonder if Angle even agreed to that, or if it was just because it was a big payday and he said, you know what, whatever, or if it was a ploy, if it was an idea to get Baron over. I don't know. But damn, that run was that it was painful to watch.
You know what? In retrospect, now that Goldberg versus Taker happened, who knows? He could have requested to not have any long matches because he probably felt like he couldn't go at 100% anymore. Do you think Kurt Angle versus Undertaker in 2019 would have been a classic or even a good match? Absolutely not.
No, hell no.
You know,
Hell
and
no.
Angle and Taker put on 5-star matches, 15, 16 years ago, but they wouldn't be able to do that now. Like, they both move very sluggishly. It's just, I think WWE is finally at the point where they can stop relying on the nostalgia acts. Because for years and years and years and years, they would have all these part-time guys, or these legends coming back for these part-time deals, but I think they're finally realizing. Yeah, that nostalgia card is, we've used it to its maximum. We use it to its capacity. I think it's time to focus on the young stars of tomorrow. Like, let's stop trying to get this Monday Night War WCW early 2000s Attitude Era pop, and let's just start focusing on guys like Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston, let's start worrying about our current crop of people, Finn Balor, so on and so forth.
I agree.
So, with that said, I think that concludes our discussion of the terrible Goldberg versus Undertaker and this questionable Super Showdown.
Yeah.
So, any last thoughts on the pro wrestling scene or Super Showdown?
I can't wait for AEW, my friend.
Yeah.
It is. We need it, there is a major need for something like this. And I can't wait. And I'm hoping Sasha Banks at some point signs with them. Sasha Banks has been rumored. AJ Lee has been
Oh,
rumored.
wow. CM Punk, I know that.
Of course, CM Punk has been rumored. And if they score any one of, not so much AJ. AJ was great, and I loved me some AJ.
Yeah.
But if they could score a Punk or a Sasha, that's big, man. That's game changer.
Yeah, holy shit, CM Punk would be, yeah, that's like big on
That's
mammoth
big.
proportions.
That's big, and it's time we need that. We need something fresh, Lewis. What we're getting from WWE is a bunch of gimmick wrestling and very little thought process and creative, just to kind of sustain itself until the Fox move, and that's it. I don't even think they're really worried about AEW, but they should be, and they should be when it comes to the product and the presentation, because you're going to have guys who are in their mid-20s to 40s, and they're going to look at AEW and think that's a cool looking product.
Right,
You know,
they're gonna think that's the place
WWE
I
is for
want to work.
kids. Right. WWE is for kids and young girls and families and stuff like that. But if you want something cool where the guys are cool and the girls are hot and cool and like it's just a cool, young, hip product. I feel AEW is going to be that, and they're going to WWE is going to have to figure out a way to get to that level again. And it pretty much comes down to letting Triple H run the company as if it's one giant NXT show. That's how it's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right.
Book it like an NXT show. Start putting these guys on the show, man. I mean, you got so many guys in the back that come to TV every week that don't get on TV at all. At all, man.
Yeah, Shinsuke must be on vacation.
Where the hell is Shinsuke, man?
I'm telling you, he's complacent. I think he's on the verge of retirement. I think he's going to retire like in about a year or two or something because,
I wouldn't be surprised.
You can just tell he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's like, oh, great. I'm not going to be WWE champion. Oh, well. There goes that WWE run.
There goes that run. I mean, it's just, start pushing your guys, man. That's why I'm afraid for Velveteen Dream. I'm afraid for an Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm afraid for Undisputed Era. Like, these teams are going
to be I'm sorry to cut you off, but speaking of Undisputed Era, you know what I read, which was ridiculous? Supposedly, Vince McMahon doesn't want Adam Cole and Undisputed Era on the main roster just yet because it's not, quote, his type of group. It's not his kind of group.
Jesus Christ. I hope that's a lie, Lewis.
Like, what the fuck what does that even right now, mean? Like, it's not your kind.
I don't even know. That group could be the saving grace to your product. Like, they are so cool. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's a cool faction right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're cool.
Right. They got the cool theme music, the cool ring gear. They got the cool hand gestures. Like, come on.
Exactly. Those are the guys that can get you a whole different demographic. Like, those are the guys that you, and if Fox wants something edgy, those are the guys you can throw on Fox.
Yep. It's true.
Like, oh, man, Lewis, I got to apply for a job there. I got to go back. I got to be a writer. I might get fired in the first week, but still, I'm going to put something out.
Do it, man.
Because this is crazy.
Just don't book that any garbage like, you know, 50-year-old versus 50-year-old.
Yeah.
Please spare us.
Listen, I won't do anything like that, man. I may do a hardcore bathroom match, maybe a false count anywhere in a men's room. I may do some gimmick match like that.
Wait, will it be for the 24/7 European title?
It might be for the 24/7. I'm going to bring back the European hanging from the ceiling of the men's stall. That's where it's going to be.
Oh, my God.
That's where it's going to be. Yep. Bring it back, Lewis. I'm bringing it back.
Good God. Well, man, it's been a fun conversation.
Yes, sir.
The next time we link up, I don't know what the topic is going to be about, but I'm sure there's going to be a lots of good news coming out within the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
So, you got any plugs? Any last plugs? Any final thoughts?
Just keep looking out for Scriptly Adapted Entertainment on Instagram and YouTube. This summer, we're taking a little hiatus from our main shows. But in July, we're coming back with a brand new show that's a little family related. And I'll explain more as we get closer to that date. Family related.
Oh, look at you. The family, man. That's what's up, man.
Well, once you hear what it's about, it's not going to be exactly what you think.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Color me interested.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, as for me, same old thing, man. I'm trying to take it a step further. I would like to finally launch a Facebook page if I get around to it at some point this summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to launch a Facebook page and just make the podcast a little more interactive. But in the meantime, you can continue checking out my content and my posts on Instagram at Let Me Just Say This Podcast. You can also stream the episodes, as I mentioned earlier, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. So with that being said, thank you so much for joining me, Keyote, and until next time, my friend.
It's been a pleasure, Lewis.
All right. Peace.
Later.